Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome to this match day episode of Pod on the Tyne. My name's Taylor Payne, and Newcastle United are back in Premier League action at St James's Park today against Everton. Earlier in the week, we brought you an extra time match day episode when Newcastle beat Carabag 9-3 on aggregate to secure a Champions League last 16 spot. To listen to that, visit podonthetyne.supportandcast.fm and subscribe. Back to today, we've dispatched George Corkin and Chris Woff to Barrack Road, but before we hear from them, let's get into the action.
Corner's going to be taken from the far side of the pitch. That's the Everton left corner to the near side. They've headed it off the post and in. Jared Branthwaite for Everton. And their strong start has been rewarded with the opening goal in the 20th minute. Newcastle United 0, Everton 1. Newcastle have it with Lewis Hall. Great turn. Oh, brilliant from Hall. Joe Linton on the outside away from Tarkowski. He's got McNeil with him. He's held him off as well. Strong play, typically. Tonali, Ramsey edge of the area. Ramsey! Oh! To Ramsey, it might have taken a touch. Pickford looked like he was deceived by a deflection. Definitely needed the lift that the equaliser has provided. Here's McNeil, great first touch inside, away from Hall. Beto in the D, holding it up. Back to McNeil, fancies the shot. Pope spilled it. Oh, it's a tap in for Beto. Oh dear. And Newcastle were level for only a couple of minutes. And Nick Pope with an error that has cost his team. McNeil with the shot that Pope seemed to be dealing with, but he spilled it and spilled it on the inside and it rolled into the 6-yard box and Beto followed in.
The start to the second half delayed by a problem for Jacob Ramsey, Newcastle's goal scorer in the first half. It looks like he has some sort of sickness issue. And as you say, that is a blow because maybe you would have wanted to see Willock and Ramsey on the pitch together in midfield. And Everton into space on the near side. Beto across and it's run out, has it? No, it stayed in. Newcastle thought it might have gone out. Beto is one-on-one. Beto hits the ball! And Newcastle chase after the assistant referee. Eddie Howe and Jason Tindall go straight to Konstantin Hatzidakis. That looked like it had gone out. Malik Chow, though, got done by Beto. And Nick Pope gave him the near side of the goal to aim at. That's and he's crashed it off the bar.
That's a horrible miss.
That's a good ball by Hall. Joe Linton's made the run and cut inside. Now he has to stand it up. He's found Murphy. It's there! Jacob Murphy on the volley. A second equaliser of the afternoon. It felt unlikely, but Joe Linton did well to cut inside and hang it up, and Murphy, who dropped back to right back, got forwards to support, and with a captain's armband on, Jacob Murphy has lashed it into the back of the net at the Gallagher end as Everton win it back. And Dewsbury Hall in the area. Oh, and it's bundled in. Unbelievable. For the second time this afternoon, Newcastle have been level for only moments, and Everton score pretty much immediately. Gordon lost it in the middle of his own half, and Everton ran into the box. Dewsbury Hall rolled it across, and I think it was Tierno Barry, was it, at the back post, who got the touch. The young striker who'd just come on tried to come away from Gay and he's used his size well. Joel Linton, edge of the area, turns inside, clips it in, looking for Osula or Tonali!
Oh, what a save that is!
Tonali, what a strike, but Pickford with an unbelievable save to tip it onto the bar. It dropped for Tonali after it was headed away. It's incredible technique on the volley, but Pickford's made an outstanding save.
Oh, it's an incredible strike, but what a save. What a stop that is.
95th minute.
Eddie Howe used the term self-implosion after that, and I think that's a fair summation of what we've just seen, George.
Self-implosion, yeah, I think that sounds fair enough when it's another home defeat and when it so much of it just feels self-inflicted. I mean, this is a bit of a theme, isn't it? But yeah, even by this season's standards, that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, Everton, despite having an XG of 2.13, because all of their chances are so huge, and Newcastle only having an XG of 0.97, fairly reflective of the fact that Newcastle didn't really create that much, Everton were gifted opportunities by Newcastle. In one of the if we're just going to the actual moments themselves, Newcastle's first equaliser, 105 seconds later, they then concede a second goal to go behind. And then after their second equaliser, 74 seconds. Basically from defensive errors on both occasions. Nick Pope, Howler for the second goal that Everton score, Anthony Gordon giving the ball away for the third, and then also Lewis Hall fouling in the process of the goal also going in for Barry. But for Newcastle, it just feels like they just have a moment in the game where it's a complete brain fart, and they're just constantly... Howe talked about individual mistakes, defensive mistakes afterwards, and he actually... I'm going to start quite early with my question to Howe, actually, because I was the last person to ask a question in the press conference. He's spoken a lot about the defensive issues and he hadn't tried to hide away from them necessarily. But he talked about individual mistakes and he described them as uncharacteristic. And I essentially went back to him at the end and I said, you described them as uncharacteristic, but they keep happening. So why do they keep happening? And he didn't really have a full answer for that, but this is what he said.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there'd be multi-factors behind everything that you see, multi-factors behind why we conceded today after scoring. In terms of individual errors defensively, it's always a team thing. It's always interlinked. You can look at the person that makes the mistake, but then you've got to sort of go back a bit further than that and go, well, why has that happened and what's the reason? And of course, team selection's key for me. That's my power that I have to make changes. We're limited defensively in terms of that area of the pitch with the injuries that we have. So a lot of that work will have to come from the training ground.
And so if you just look at the raw facts, Newcastle have conceded 11 straight games in all competitions. It's 3 clean sheets and 29 in all competitions. In the Premier League, it's 2 in 21. They've conceded 11 in the last 4 home Premier League matches. I mean, those numbers are just staggering, really.
And then when you add those to what's happening or not happening at the other end of the pitch, of course, you know, that becomes kind of nightmare territory, which is where they are. I mean, we have to say, you know, this does come off the back of a good run of form in all competitions. But if you're just looking at the league tape and you're just looking at the league form, then it is pretty disastrous.
But in that sense, it's almost like Groundhog Day, isn't it? There tends to be, other than when Newcastle had the sort of back-to-back away defeats in the Champions League, it's tended to be for most of the season that generally their form across all competitions gives everyone a bit of an uplift. They're progressing in the Champions League. They got the semi-final of the League Cup again, the trophy they were defending. They're through the first two rounds of the FA Cup that they've been involved in. And then it comes back to the Premier League and suddenly it just feels deflating. Even a lot of the games that they've won haven't necessarily been as strong a performances or as convincing as maybe they are in other competitions. So it does feel like Groundhog Day in that regard to a certain degree.
Yeah, totally. I mean, so if we, you know, we've heard from Eddie Howe very early, so let's hear from Jacob Murphy, because funnily enough, that was something that I put to him afterwards about this sense of this just being such a bitty season. Obviously, totally relentless in terms of match after match after match, But sort of just when you think Newcastle might be able to put a consistent run together, something happens. It's bitty. It's like the team is like a jigsaw and there's just no consistency. And this is what he said to that.
That's where usually we have that training time where we can iron it out. But we're having to try and find solutions in game, which is difficult. You know, last year, whenever we faced a challenge, we had a whole week to find an outcome that worked for everyone. But at the moment, we kind of have 90 minutes to find that solution and make it work. And it is going to be difficult, but the lads are trying the best they can. Second half, I thought we sustained pressure, and that's in the league, that's probably been the best that we've pinned a team in for quite a while. So, like I say about in-game training, you know, that was that, and I'm taking confidence from that, and I'm going to be pushing out with the boys that we've done some really good things in that spell. We were calm, we were composed, we were finding the correct passes, and you know, even for Joey when he's cut back. You know, he slowed the game down and he's found the correct pass. So, yeah, we're finding solutions and we just have to keep working at it because nothing's going to change between now and the end of the season. This is what it is and we've got to make it work and everyone's willing to put that work in.
I think that thing about the sort of having to find in-game solutions, lack of training time is sort of interesting. That's why I kind of thought it would be quite good to listen to that. I mean, his overall viewpoint of it was that wasn't wholly negative, that, you know, that they'd found, like, they thought they were kind of finding solutions in the second half, that there was a calmness to proceedings. I suppose
I'm not sure I agree with that.
No, but if you sort of accept that basic premise, which of course you don't have to, the frustration is then to come back to what you were just talking about before, which is the fact that, you know, twice Newcastle showed that they could get back into this match, and then immediately they've let it slip on both occasions. Now that is, you know, Jacob talked about that being naivety. He says you rein in your celebration, you take a deep breath and you go again. And I don't want to say sort of unforgivable, because I don't, you know, because I will forgive them, but you know, in football that is a kind of unforgivable thing. Like, that is when you're at your most vulnerable, you've got this like rush of adrenaline, you've had a moment of joy, it's great, and then, but you've got to like take a breath at that point and see out the next minute, calm yourself down, calm your emotions down, and be professional and be composed. And, you know, for Newcastle twice to get themselves back into that position and to do the same thing on both occasions is just terrible.
Yeah, and particularly because if you just reverse it and look at what Everton did, is that every time Newcastle tried to attack, Everton basically had 10 men behind the ball that have the striker stay up front, and Newcastle would just pepper the ball over and over, a land of giants, and they just kept crossing the ball in. There was no ingenuity about what Newcastle attempted to do. They didn't move Everton around enough. They didn't move the ball quickly enough themselves. And then maybe out of frustration themselves, maybe because those lapses of concentration, because of the volume of matches, because of how fatigued I'm sure they are. But then, the mistakes just, you're not going to say you're not going to use the word unforgivable. I think some of them are. I mean, the Nick Pope one, this is not necessarily to take him out, just him, because there were other errors. But the second goal that Newcastle concede, Dwight McNeil curls a shot, which is slightly to Nick Pope's right. He gets down to it. Nick Pope in prime form would probably even catch the ball, or certainly would, but he sort of gets down fairly slowish to it. Then he parries it inside. He does not react himself, does not get up. And so Beto is the only person who responds. No Newcastle defender. Now, they should expect Nick Pope to save it, but still, no Newcastle defender responds. So Beto has the entire penalty area to put it into the goal. And as you say, it's in that vulnerable moment of 105 seconds after they've just equalised. And even then, I mean, the weird thing, I think, that, and you get it from the start of, and it's certainly, I mean, there haven't been that many 3 o'clock Saturday home kickoffs in the Premier League, but generally in home games, and certainly Saturday 3 o'clock in the Premier League, it's just felt different this season. It doesn't feel, none of it feels as energetic as it can be at the start of a match, and maybe that is fatigue that everyone has, and just grind after grind, almost like the Premier League is the sort of thing you just expect that's the way that it is, and you know these are just your sort of bread and butter games, for want of a less cliched term. But it just didn't feel right from the first minute. I thought Newcastle didn't look right, and I mean, let's come on to the setup. The way that Howe set up the team, and so when the team is announced 75 minutes before the game, it's a bit of debate among fans and the press room. How is this set up? How are Newcastle actually playing? Because they had there was some suggestion from some people that it was Voldemort was going to go back up front from the start because Joe Linton, Ramsey, and Tonali were all in the team. I'm not trying to be clever after the fact. My thought was maybe he'd put Joe Linton left forward, which seemed to be something which had been consigned to the past, having worked in previous years as a sort of big physical left winger because they had a big physical right back who's essentially a centre-back in O'Brien, and that it was Gordon through the middle and Voldemort as a left-sided number eight. That's what it turned out to be. And from the off, it just didn't really function well, did it, George?
It absolutely did not, no. And it was abandoned incredibly quickly. Now, on
half an hour in, yeah.
And at that point, Jullinton goes back into midfield, Walter Marder goes up front, and Anthony Gordon goes to the left. Now, kind of how afterwards says that, you know, it's kind of tweaks.
Which I think is defend them, because I think that's... I understand why he's saying it, but it's one of those things which I think will probably annoy a lot of people who hear that, to say it's just a little tweaks, because you are literally moving somebody who is signed as a centre forward, you've then started as a left-sided number eight, and then you're putting him up front. To call it a little tweak...
To be fair to him, he also said it didn't work. He said they prepared well, but he did take responsibility.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he didn't take it, but I think that's almost defending the players by saying it's a little tweak. It's like... But in a perverse sort of way, I actually think it has the opposite effect, because it's quite a big shift that you've asked Nick Voldemort to play as a number eight over the last few weeks, and against potentially weaker opposition in Carabag and the like, he actually looked decent. The way at Villa, stronger opposition, he did look decent. But then he's played there against Man City, and then he's played there against Everton and looked a bit like a fish out of water, really.
Yeah, and yes, just to finish that point, he said that he didn't like what he was seeing, so changed things around. It didn't really get much better, I don't think. And, you know, Walter Marder, I kind of say this with a heavy heart. I feel really sorry for him, I have to say. We've seen what a talented footballer he is. We've seen that he can have these kind of beautiful moments. He's capable of scoring goals. We've seen that. And he's got a great touch. But in the time that he was on the pitch, he's had 12 touches of the ball. He's not touched the ball in the opposition box, so including that time as a centre forward. And Jacob Murphy made the point afterwards that they're having to find solutions in game, and I do think this is something I feel like I'm making excuses. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just relaying that kind of conversation that, you know, what they're having to do is almost train in matches, because they can't do it between the matches. They can't do it with any kind of intensity. So we saw that during the match today, and it wasn't kind of pretty to look at. It just wasn't effective.
No, and I do have empathy for that. And I think that when a lot of the response to that will be, oh, well, you know, this is the world that Newcastle want to be in, though, that they want to progress and that you have to just get used to this. I think that if you look at Newcastle's squad, they've had new players who have been introduced very late in the window. But also, I think a point that's probably not mentioned enough, and I probably haven't mentioned it enough, is if you think about a lot of the players who are there, Jacob Murphy, Joe Linton, players who have improved under Eddie Howe because they've had so much time on the training pitch with him and coaches. And when they don't have that time, eventually, over time, it seems that those relationships and maybe the overperformance they had during that time relative to the time before dissipates away a little bit, and that's probably understandable.
Yeah, because obviously, I mean, this isn't just Eddie Howe. This is absolutely every single team in the Premier League at any level of football, that the time you spend in training, a lot of that is about repetition and dynamic repetition, and you change things round, but you're putting yourselves into those positions that you'll find during matches, and you hone it and hone it and hone it and repeat it. And Eddie Howe is one of those managers, like Rafa Benitez, who you know, he wants his players to know where they should be at a certain... Well, I mean, I think all managers do, but I think, you know, they do micromanage in terms of this is where you should be at a certain time on the pitch. This is what you do if X happens. This is what you, how you should react if Y happens. And of course, they can't, you know, they can't sort of do that to any great extent at the minute. But as you say, this is the world that they want to inhabit. And it can't really be used as an excuse because... You know, in an ideal world, Newcastle will be playing every... I mean, it feel, this season feels like an aberration to me. It feels like an exception to me because of the amount of matches. But if Newcastle are going to be any good, this is what they're going to be doing every single season from this point, which is a, quite a scary thought. I mean, we have to get used to it. Everybody has to get used to it. But, you know, the manager...
It's not going to be an issue next season, I don't think.
Well, it may, not, at this rate, it's not. No, at this rate, it's not.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So the game starts and it was a sort of odd, I think you used the term early on, I think it was a fair one, that like this was for both teams, it was like blood and thunder with little quality at either end. Then the 19th minute, James Garner whips a corner in towards the front post, Jared Branthwaite gets away from Tonali, Joe Linton sort of caught no man's land. I noticed Joe Linton was exchanging almost, it wasn't like an argument, but was sort of seemed to be disagreeing with Jason Tindall as to whether he was partly at fault, I presume was the discussion. But Jared Branthwaite flicks it on and it goes in off the far post. Newcastle continue to struggle for a little bit. They make the change of the system. So then Gordon goes back to left wing, Joe Linton into left side number 8 and Voldemort up front about the half hour mark, and almost immediately, and not necessarily, I don't think, because of the change that was made, but it had just been made in that regard. Tonali plays a really good ball from the left hand side, right footed into towards the edge of the area. Jacob Ramsey takes a touch, then shoots, and the ball deflects in off Jared Branthwaite over the top of Jordan Pickford, who's sort of wrong footed. And Newcastle immediately get back into the game, and then there's that. There's the first of the, I mean, the first goal is not defended particularly well that Newcastle concede, but I wouldn't say it's an absolute howler. The second goal definitely is, and I mentioned it earlier on, and they are, I think they've got a big issue in goal. I mean, Howe was asked after the game a question he was never really going to answer, but he was asked about whether goalkeeper was a position he wants to address this summer. Now it definitely is. That is very, if not top of the agenda, very close to being top of the agenda for what Newcastle want to do in the summer, in the upcoming summer. We know we've been over the James Trafford situation so many times before. There is probably a legitimate argument to suggest that Nick Pope should be dropped, as there was probably a legitimate argument after his howler at Marseille, which followed a lot of other mistakes. You're certainly getting half a dozen, if not more, issues he's had across the course of the year. In recent weeks, you had... He probably should have saved Man City's first goal, or certainly done better with it. Carabag, the goal that Newcastle conceded in Baku, just goes through him, doesn't really react. He doesn't quite look right, but has Aaron Ramsdale done enough to suggest that he should be pushing to come into it? I think he's been all right in recent games, but there's that issue with his shot stopping. He's definitely better with his feet, but Newcastle have got a problem there, and I suppose that then if the defence is starting to lose confidence in him, he's probably starting to lose confidence in his defence because they're creating problems of their own accord in terms of mistakes that are made. It just feels like that's almost infectious and it spreads throughout the team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the problem is that, I mean, you've expressed it very well, but I think Nick Pope is clearly the Newcastle number one, and I think rightly so, but the person beneath him definitely isn't better. So you know that you're sacrificing your number one to bring in a keeper who's less good, I think.
Shot-stopping-wise.
And we did see this earlier this season. Pope comes out of the team. He needed that break at that point. It was an injury, but he needed that break, and it felt like that was the right time to take him out of the team anyway. Ramsdale comes in. You know, like... isn't awful by any stretch of the imagination, but I think you do quickly get that sense of how Pope can dominate the area, is a big presence for the team. And so when he comes back in, that also felt like the right decision. So it does put you in this dilemma where it doesn't feel like whatever happens next is going to be the ideal scenario. And that is, yeah, that's the position that they're left in from the summer. Just for me to, if not slightly correct, the point that I made earlier when I said they changed formation and it remained ineffective, actually, because that goal comes so quickly after that change of formation.
Not formation, but personnel.
Sorry. Well, yeah, sorry, not formation. Yes, tweak, to use the word that people won't like. But comes after that tweak, you can say, okay, well, that's immediate. You know, if Newcastle hold on, or Newcastle then go on to win, you say that's managerial genius. Now, because of what happened in the match straight afterwards, it becomes ineffectual because then Newcastle are put in the same position again through that sort of self-implosion or self-inflicted mistake. So you don't really kind of get to see the benefit of it. So it might have ended up being a good decision, but then they're immediately desperate again, and then they're immediately chasing again.
Half-time comes and Newcastle behind, sort of not, there was like a smattering of boos. I mean, I even asked, because you said that at half-time, was having, I said, geez, smattering for any other.
A smattering of rain and a smattering of boos. And there was, in fact, a smattering of rain and a smattering of boos. So it was a double smattering.
Double smattering all at once. And, but it was sort of almost, we were debating among ourselves or a little bit, could someone be hooked here? Could Nick Voldemort come off? Would there be changes? And initially, there wasn't going to be a change at halftime. The teams come out, and I'm sort of ready to put on social media unchanged for both teams. And then there's a very odd moment, which I've never really seen before, that suddenly the referee is sort of called across, and one of the Newcastle players brings him across, and Jacob Ramsey sort of stood there, visibly looks unwell, and starts at least retching, if not, I don't know if he actually vomited, but certainly retching on the pitch. And Paul Catterson, Newcastle's club doctor, comes onto the field, and Eddie Howe and Jason Tindall are there by the side of the pitch to ask what's going on. And immediately you see the Newcastle bench start to fill out one of the forms to start a substitution, and Joe Willock get ready. Ramsey seemed like he wanted to maybe continue, but
whilst retching,
yeah, gesturing to go back on, whereas Catterson was saying, no, he can't continue here. And Ramsey had arguably been Newcastle's, but I would argue he was probably Newcastle's most effective player in the first half. I thought he was trying to make things happen. He carried the ball well. He moved the ball quite well in a relative sense, relative to his teammates. And then Joe Willock comes on, and that felt like just another blow for Newcastle at that stage. And it was a strange moment, wasn't it?
Very strange. Not seen anything like that. Can I just say that it was a sickener in more ways than one? Can I say that? Is that right?
Have you been waiting for that moment?
Yes. Yes, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. It was enough to make you sick. Or not quite. And yeah, no. So, a very bizarre moment. So, counts as a halftime substitution, but just not in the way you would have expected. And it was, I mean, that was bad luck because it, as you say, it robbed Newcastle of their kind of most dynamic midfield. I mean, Tonali was trying, he was trying to sort of take on that role. But as you say, I think Ramsey was probably Newcastle's best player at that point, and they didn't look the same without him.
Yeah, and the team sort of continues the same way, but then by the 56th minute, Howe makes another change, a double change actually. Anthony Elanga, who'd been ineffective and pretty poor, Newcastle hadn't really got the ball to him that much, but when they had got the ball to him, he hadn't used it very well. And Voldemort are hooked. Jacob Murphy and Harvey Barnes come on. Anthony Gordon returns to centre forward at that stage. And so Newcastle go searching for equaliser. Howe said afterwards that he thought that was sort of Newcastle's best period in the game. Maybe to a degree. I wouldn't say that Newcastle improved immeasurably from that. I didn't think that there was that much difference, and they suddenly created loads of opportunities. They had a lot of territory. And Everton just put men behind the ball. And as I said earlier, it was land of giants, crossed the ball in the box. Newcastle didn't do particularly well with it. And so it felt like the game was drifting. Newcastle really weren't getting that far with it. Johan Wisser then comes on for Kieran Trippier in the 75th minute. Anthony Gordon plays his third position of the match by that stage. He shifts across to the right. Johan Wisser goes into the middle. And eventually, I turned to you and I said I didn't see a goal coming. I didn't see Newcastle equalising. The goal did come. Good ball down the left from Lewis Hall to play in, I think it was Lewis Hall to play in, Joe Linton, who cuts back, who Jordan, I thought, didn't have a great game, but did well in that moment, cut back in the box, plays it back to Jacob Murphy, who volleys first time, takes a deflection off Idris Aganagay and goes in, and Newcastle equalise, and you think, right, well, maybe this is on. And at that point...
The point is, Chris, we didn't have time to think, right, maybe this is on.
Well, but our editor, who was on, Dom, who for The Athletic, who we were messaging on Slack, the service we do, at that point said, oh, they'll go on to win this. And by the time...
Well, he was right.
Yeah, he was right. He didn't specify which team, and it turned out to be Everton. And as we're still trying to even work out what had happened precisely with the goal to see who had come off, and the like for Newcastle's second equaliser, as I said earlier, 74 seconds later, another calamitous concession, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's just shambolic. I mean, just, I can repeat the same adjectives as at the start. You just shouldn't do that. You know, at that point in the game, you, of course, I mean, there's a naivety, I suppose, because they're full of adrenaline and they want to push for a winner. And so that is a good thing, and that is understandable. But in those just first moments, you are always vulnerable. It's one of the biggest cliches in the game, but you're vulnerable, and you just have to take a breath, and you have to calm things down, and then you push again. And it's naive.
It was also the fact that Everton basically in the second half had two chances of real note. The first of which, Malik Chow comes to the near touchline when it's still 2-1. The ball probably does go out. He tries to sort of shield it out with Beto behind him. The ball probably does go out, but Chow is slightly naive in how he tries to defend it. And then Beto keeps running. The linesman doesn't give it as having gone out. Beto runs through on goal. You can argue in one sense Nick Pope does well because he forces Beto into decision. But actually, from the angle we're in, the press box, looking at it, it looked to me like Nick Pope had basically said to him, he has the entire right-hand side to me. You can pass the ball into. Instead, Beto tries to lift it over him, hits the bar, and it goes away. So Newcastle got away with one. Malik Chow, who came back in, having been suspended in midweek, had played 38 successive games before that, didn't have a great afternoon. Dan Byrne alongside him didn't have a great afternoon either. Defensively, no Newcastle player did, really. So they have that one chance. And then this other chance, which is, it comes from Anthony Gordon, who has the ball midway inside, or the third of the way inside his own half, sort of has a few Everton players around him, tries to shimmy one way and then the other, concedes possession to Njai, who immediately gives it to Keenan Dewsbury-Hall, who gets to the left-hand side of the box, plays a low ball across it. And it looked like Hall was fouling Tiano Barry as the two of them sort of fall over and the ball ricochets off Barry and goes in, and that's the immediately Everton are ahead. And at that point, it was shades of Brentford again, that Newcastle have got themselves level, and then suddenly there's a late goal which just everything about it looked wrong.
Yeah, and you're talking about a team that you know, at the start of the season was defensively incredibly strong, but this is just sort of rinse and repeat with those concessions. Something else that Newcastle was known for: game management, being difficult to play against, and they're not at the moment. It was all too easy. That was the thing. It was too easy. It was too easy at the other end of the pitch, where Newcastle have, you know, they've somehow got like 17 shots, whatever, but they're not testing enough.
XG of less than one.
An XG less than one in that instance, albeit I don't know what it means. That does feel very much reflective. They're not a creative threat. And at the other end of the pitch, they're soft. Or they certainly have been in too many games. So, yeah, you know, calamitous.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Sort of last big moment, I suppose. Well, sorry, there's 2 moments to go. We'll cover the Gordon one first. That Gordon is then hooked in the 86th minute, replaced by Willasula, which in itself was, at that point, you just think this is almost chaos theory, see if we can get back into the game. But there's been some suggestion, there's been debate about whether the decision to replace him was booed. So was it Howe was being booed? Was Gordon being booed for going off? There's been some suggestions that Gordon had even suggested he wanted to come off, a gesture to come off. Maybe it was a conflation of them all, but that felt like Howe talked afterwards about wanting, he didn't really know, he didn't hear that moment, but he'd really plead for unity. But it sort of felt like frustration coming out generally from the recent home performances in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there were boos at the final whistle as well. Again, for the second Premier League home game in succession, it's jarring because it doesn't happen here very often. But it's understandable in the circumstances because the manner of these two defeats against, Everton were above Newcastle on the table before kickoff. Brentford are having a really good season, so I'm not like diminishing that, but it's the manner of the defeat, and so that's people just getting their frustration out. It's not a regular occurrence. I don't have a problem with that. It's not something that I would do, but it's like I do understand it. You go to other stadiums and it happens every week if a team is losing. And I mean, I did think the Gordon moment was interesting. I think my sort of assumption, albeit, my head is down at that point, I'm in my laptop, my assumption was that was about the decision. But yeah, there is a school of thought that it might have actually been aimed towards Gordon himself because of his role in that goal. I'm not sure, but it's a sign of frustration, and that frustration
there was a lot,
is,
I mean, how you use the term tweaks, but I mean, there's a lot during that game. Gordon himself plays left wing, centre forward, starts centre forward, goes left wing, goes to right wing, goes back to centre forward. So there's a lot of changes even for him and for the other. And I think that just shows that it wasn't working. But the very final moment, really, Jordan Pickford, who in these games tends to define them by either making a big mistake, which really Newcastle fans can gloat about for a long while, or he manages to have those moments that he relishes as a former Sunderland player, as a Sunderland fan, and he makes a huge save from Tonali's volley at the end.
Yeah, an incredible save. I mean, it was a brilliant volley by Tonali. It was a great hit. It was worthy of a goal, and it would have been some moment. But the save itself was extraordinary. I know that Pickford is a pantomime villain, and for all the reasons of that, and as per usual, he gets stick from the first minute every time he's near the ball. I mean, I think he's found a way to sort of keep his emotions in check when he comes here now. There was a time when he just looked so worked up for these moments. But when he made that save, he flexes in front of the Gallagher and you have to say in that, I mean, people won't say fair play to him, but fair play to him. He's earned that. He's deserved that. They've won. That was a extraordinary save. Whether Newcastle would have deserved a draw, I'm really not sure. I'm not sure that they would have, but it was certainly a shot worthy of a goal, but it was a save worthy to save those 3 points for Everton. But yeah, massive moment.
And instead, that made it 5 defeats in 6 Premier League games for Newcastle, the worst form of any team in the Premier League. I think it is 3 consecutive home defeats in the Premier League for the first time under Eddie Howe, the first time since January, February 2021 under Steve Bruce. Newcastle are 12th as we're speaking right now, 36 points. They're closer to the bottom three still than they are to the top five. They've got more defeats than victories in the Premier League this season, already 5 home defeats. Their points per game at home are significantly down on previous seasons. That is worrying as well, that Fortress St James just feels like in recent weeks it's started to crumble in the Premier League.
Yeah, and that will be a huge concern now. Like if you go back a few months, we're like saying the away form is piling on so much pressure for when the home games come around at St James's, and that has proven to be the case. That is the problem now. Obviously, Newcastle have just gone away from home 3 times in a row and won in all competitions. But historically this season, their away record is really mediocre. And so it puts pressure on, and then, if you lose a game, that then piles more pressure on, and, they've now lost 3 in a row. I mean, again, I would say that this comes at the end of a mini revival, if you want to call it that. But it, it wasn't a hard luck story against Everton today, and it was definitely a regression to my mind. They have to go away. I mean, I think they...
One thing that I thought yeah. most interesting about Howe was that he was asked about whether when Newcastle are up against teams who quote unquote, they should beat, that they don't really perform. And he basically said, I can't necessarily disagree with that. And he said, but that's not what a big team, that's not what the big team mentality. And he basically said that we haven't got that yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you can't close games out, you know, the great teams shut games down. They recognise when they're not playing well at the start of a game and they find a way of winning. I mean, it's like if we think about all the great teams in history, there have been loads of those games that they'll have played in title-winning seasons when they'll have gone through bad stretches of form. It happens to everybody. There's like, if you think about this season overall, how many great games have we actually watched, whether on telly or in person? I don't think there's been a lot of them. But the best teams find a way, and Newcastle are not finding a way. I mean, they're doing the opposite. They're finding ways to lose games at the minute. And it's a concern. Now, you know, we know they've got a really good manager. We know that they've got really good players. But it has felt like a jigsaw of a season. It's never, you know, you shuffle pieces around. It never quite works. It never quite fits. What this, you know, what they can't afford this to be is another reset. There's no like time for another reset. That was the other thing that Jacob Murphy said. You know, we're running out of time.
I think they've probably run out of time. I think,
and they probably already have. But there has to be. You know, they have to have. You know, there has to be something to build on. There has to be a bit of momentum. And of course, they're still in the Champions League, which is great. Still in the FA Cup for now, which is great. But this does feel damaging, and I think worse than that, it feels unnecessary.
Yeah, and it's obviously another game without Bruno Guimarães, which Newcastle haven't won in the Premier League when he hasn't featured, which is...
Yeah, and you know, they've found a way to win other games without him, so whether focusing on that or not is fair, but like when he's not in the team, you do understand what a vital, important... I'm not saying we take him for granted, but there was that, you know, moment when it's him and Tonali, sort of last season in particular, and Tonali is magnificent. And you sort of think, Bruno, is he all that? You know, but then he comes out of the team and you do just understand how he knits everything together with his tempo, with his energy, with, you know, with his emotion, of course, with his leadership, which I don't think is something we would have said. Or you know, not too long ago, he is a leader, and his quality in possession, and Newcastle don't have enough of those players, so he is an absolutely huge miss. But Newcastle are going to have to find a way to deal with it.
Yeah, I think we've wallowed really for far too long on that. But I mean, it feels like there is a lot to cover though from that, and just the wider sort of themes of it. So apologies that this has probably been quite... You're gesturing to me to speed
well,
up.
Well, because I was going to say there is one other thing that we have to talk about, which is the Champions League draw. So we should end. Well, is this a positive or not? I'm not entirely sure. But you have got the delights of Barcelona. I've graciously given way.
I gambled, to be fair. And
it was a great gamble. It was a great. It was like, okay, you can do Barcelona. I did Barcelona under Sir Bobby all those years ago, and I hope that you go and along with everybody else and just have a really kind of great time. But yeah, I am absolutely devastated, I have to be honest.
Because you wanted me to go to Stamford Bridge twice.
Well, I said, okay, you can do Barcelona. It's not my decision, but we had the discussion. It said, yeah, okay, you do Barcelona, but you know, the gamble is you also then have to do Chelsea three times in a row. So I was really secretly, maliciously, passive-aggressively hoping you would get that, of course. But, I mean, it's a brilliant, brilliant draw. Maybe not in terms of difficulty of the tie, but it's a proper Champions League game. Obviously, Newcastle played them earlier the season, lost, but it was a decent game. And it does feel like a proper Champions League tie, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think the atmosphere, when I said that the 3 o'clock Premier League atmospheres haven't necessarily been brilliant here and generally the games haven't felt special, that will feel special. When it comes on Tuesday week, and Newcastle have to really make sure that home game, that preferably they win it and that they go to Barcelona and that they're still in the tie rather than what they had with over the two legs against Man City. So yeah, very special game, and that shows the flip side, this puzzling season that Newcastle are into, the last 16 of the Champions League have ties against Barcelona, didn't look... they lost in the end and probably were schooled to a certain degree passing-wise by Barcelona in that first game, but they didn't look massively out of place against Barcelona, and yet then in the Premier League they can play teams and just look clueless at certain points. So such a strange season, but hopefully that can bring uplifting moments again in the Champions League, because they're a precious few in the Premier League at the minute.
Yeah, and you talked about that earlier, that about rousing themselves for big games. I mean, that is easier to do in the Champions League right now, and it's easier to do in cup fixtures. Okay, let's take out Man City in the League Cup, but it has definitely brought the best out of them this season, and there is no bigger game than this. I mean, it's a wonderful. I mean, we can talk about the format of the Champions League. You had a go the other day at it, and I do understand that there is this sort of lack of narrative when you're playing different teams in that sort of big bloated group stage. There is definitely a narrative here. It's two games against the biggest or one of the biggest clubs in the world, a huge team, a team that Newcastle have history with as well. And you're right, St James will be up for it. The team will be up for it and absolutely should relish that. And the weird thing is we've just seen, Newcastle self-implode against Everton, but, they've got a chance against Barcelona. They do. If they turn up, they've got a chance against anyone.
And then the rest of the draw, theoretically, if they were to get through Spurs or Atletico Madrid, I don't think either of those you'd necessarily really, really fear. Probably Arsenal in the semi-final, but Newcastle, yeah, they have a prospect. It's not a complete no-hoper, which is the weird sort of thing. And I suppose that summarises this season in general, really. But that we shall wrap up there. Enough wallowing in that defeat to Everton. The next time you'll hear from us will be again, probably from in this room. We're in the radio room at St James's Park when Newcastle host Manchester United in the Premier League on Wednesday night, so if you're an Extra Time subscriber, you will hear that. Otherwise, it'll be later in the week when we'll have our midweek podcast where we'll discuss that, and then also preview Newcastle hosting Manchester City in the FA Cup fifth round next weekend. But for now, toodaloo from a very downbeaten, I think, St James's Park generally is just, I think everyone felt a bit downbeaten today.
Yeah, bludgeoned with football. We're bludgeoned with football. I think that's the
bad
thing.
Football.
And bad football. Yeah.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.